machine who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Very welcome to the last edition of Countdown to Cheltenham with Ruby Walsh and Frank Kickey. My name is Patrick Canelli, and we're just a few days away now. All the main races covered. We're going to be recapping with the lads as well as looking at some of the races we haven't discussed yet, most notably the handicaps at this year's Cheltenham Festival. Okay, Ruby, going to start with you. What is the plan with Willie's horses this week? Can I just leave it as that's the end of the question? That we could get an entire podcast out of that question.
What's the plan in what sense, PK? You may have fleshed that out a little bit.
I'll have to.
The plan is to bring them all to Cheltenham as many as possible to win.
Have they had their last serious piece of work already? There's a question for you. And is that when Willie turns the screw and goes, right, let's get them ripe and ready?
Weeks ago. You're into maintenance much as anything at this stage. Keep your fitness up. You can't get to fit in one bit of work, PK. That's something that happens over a long period of time. And I suppose at this stage, it's just try and keep the wheels on the bike, as they say, and get them all there and as healthy and as well as you possibly can.
So the main work is done, I suppose. When you were a jockey, not too long ago, it's fair to say you would have usually taken the weekend before off, and by off I mean not having rides at the likes of Sandown and stuff.
Yeah, Willie wasn't overly keen on me riding till especially as I got older anyway. But Paul Nichols is very different. He'd like you riding the day before, whereas Willie Mullins would have didn't really want you taking any extra risks. He thought the year was all about, or a huge part of the year was about Cheltenham, and when you get that close, why get broke up the weekend before? He wanted you in Cheltenham. He didn't really mind if I wasn't in Naas the day before, or Limerick, or wherever it was. But that was just two different approaches. Paul, I often rode in Stratford on the Monday for Paul Nichols, whereas when I was back just riding in Ireland, Willie Mullins, no, didn't really want me riding the weekend before. But look, that's everyone's different.
There was no actual injury the weekend before that said, no, you're not riding the weekend before.
No, there wasn't. It was just, I don't know, you're looking at, put it this way, the Irish rugby team, I suppose the way it's contracted compared to the English players, but the weekend's off during the Six Nations, I didn't see Johnny Sexton lining out for Leinster or Tadhg Furlong or numerous lads, no need. So why was Willie's approach to it?
Fair enough. When do Willie's horses head over to Cheltenham, and is there
stages.
Separate? Yeah, I was going to say, is there separate stages, yeah?
Stages, yeah. Well, look, with a number like Willie's, but different people do it different ways. Willie's probably go Saturday for Tuesday, Sunday for Wednesday, Monday for Thursday, and Tuesday for Friday. So logistically, it's a huge undertaking, and it's even greater this year with Brexit and COVID. It's an even bigger undertaking. Paperwork is a good bit more, the costs are more this year because of Brexit, and then you have all the stipulations that come with COVID on top of that, and the amount of testing that's had to be done. Like, all the jockeys were tested 2 weeks and a week prior to the festival. When they get their 72-hour PCR test, that would be their third time all the Irish jockeys would have been tested, and there's been a huge cross sample of stable staff and trainers tested both weeks as well, to get a handle on not so much positivity rate, but it's a big PR exercise, PK. I mean, we'd have to just remember back to the bad publicity that came out of Cheltenham last year and the stories that came with it. Cheltenham being blamed for the spread of COVID here, there and everywhere. Which, to my money, when you think logically about it, doesn't add up. Never added up to me to think that people could, all through February and March, get on an airplane at Dublin Airport, fly to London, get on the Heathrow Express, travel on the underground system across London, to work, travel back on the underground system, Heathrow Express, get back on a plane. To me, the amount of people that came into Ireland bringing COVID that way was probably greater than what came from Cheltenham. But lots of times in every walk of life, people just don't really want to hear a logical answer. And if there's an easy thing to blame, we'll blame that. And I think Cheltenham got a lot of that flack last year. And I think everybody is aware of that PR, and everybody is going to extreme measures and lengths this year around the Cheltenham Festival. Even what's going to happen when the Irish contingent gets to Cheltenham. They're all housed on site. Accommodation is on site. Nobody that will travel from Ireland to Cheltenham will be in Cheltenham town. Once you appear there, be it Sunday night, Monday, whenever you arrive at Cheltenham Racecourse and sign yourself in, you are on site till you depart to come home. It's the level, the levels that are being measures that are put in place are quite extensive, hugely extensive.
People's Republic of Cheltenham, it sounds like it's going to be.
Pretty much, to best of my knowledge, the best made enclosure, or the old Courage enclosure, the enclosure in the middle as such of Cheltenham Racecourse, is where all the Irish stable staff will be for the week.
Wow.
Jockeys and trainers are in a hotel pretty much on site. And that's it. It is just one big bubble. And that's the lengths that Cheltenham are going to keep the people of Cheltenham town safe. Fair and enough. That's the lengths that the IHRB, along with HRI, BHA and Cheltenham are going to make sure that everyone that's coming from Ireland to Cheltenham and coming back is not going to put anybody else at risk. And it's been responsible for themselves, but they're making a huge effort to make this a PR success after last year.
Fair play. Sounds like they're definitely got their ducks in a row. One thing you said there about the horses, so the Tuesday horses fly over on the Sunday, I think you said.
They don't fly anymore, PK.
On the boat.
I mean, I suppose before horses went on the boat, it was so expensive. That was probably why there was so fewer Irish runners. When I went with Comanche Court in 97, he went on a plane from Dublin Airport on the Monday with Theatre World, Finnegan's Hollow, Istabrack and Comanche Court. It was four horses on the plane. I would say this year at Cheltenham, there may be 85, 90, maybe 100 Irish runners. Frank will probably know the exact figure better than I do, but not one will come by air. They will all go on the boat.
For those who haven't seen it, and it's probably geo-blocked for those in the UK who are listening, but TG Cahir have been playing a season called, I think it's Rossina Lecra, and it's been a brilliant series on Thursdays, and Limestone Lad was one of the horses who was featured last Thursday, and Michael Bowe, his trainer, owner, groom, everything, he was talking about the time he went over to Cheltenham, and I think he brought him over for the stayers perhaps 4 or 5 days beforehand, and he said the horse got out of the horse box, would have been stabled at Cheltenham, I'm assuming, and thought, brilliant, I'm racing today. Wasn't racing. Brilliant, I'm racing today. Wasn't racing. And Michael Bowe said basically he'd run nearly three races by the time we got him. Does that ever happen to Willie Mullins' horses?
It does, yeah. It does. Yeah. It happens to everyone's horses, and younger horses especially. If you imagine they're stabled on site, so there's two stable yards. A lot of them will be in the top stable yard or the back stable yard. But at a normal Cheltenham Festival, when the noise cranks up on Tuesday, they think they're at the races. Now, the second time they go, they understand a bit better. You know, you just unfortunately can't explain to the horse that's running on when the loudspeakers start on Tuesday. You just can't explain to your horse that's running in the stayers hurdle on Thursday that, don't worry, son, have a little word in Bacardi's ear. Your race is 2 days away. They just can't quite comprehend that. But as they experience, like for everybody, when they get the experience of it, they get used to it. And I suppose the change in surroundings as well a bit, PK, for some horses that wouldn't have travelled away from home and been stabled outside of a yard overnight before, it all takes getting used to. And some horses, like humans, take it better than others.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The routine is important for everyone. Frank, I'm going to bring in. How are you, Frank? Sorry, we've been having a great chat there. Are you okay?
I'm very good, yeah. You're worried again about me.
Well, you know, we hadn't forgotten about you. I'm not sure your thoughts on Limestone Lads bringing him over 4 days in advance, whether you had anything to... You can add anything if you want.
Absolutely zero input to that, DK.
Oh, very good. Okay. Tell you what you can give us input. It's now, we're just a matter of days away from Cheltenham. I know that the majority and a vast majority of bets are placed in the probably half hour run up to Cheltenham races. But you know, when does it really get serious? When the 48 hour decks, do we start to think, whoa, now we're starting to see the bets come through?
In the anti-post markets are very, you know, lively. Like, you know, compared to a normal race on a Saturday that you put up on a Monday, there's no comparison. Like, you know, what kind of turnover you're doing. Just Cheltenham really catches the imagination of the punters. And yeah, like once you see the day of race book come down, which is 48 hours, people really get stuck in then, because they, you know, they know they're getting their extra places, you know, whatever the money backs or free bets people are getting, they know the feels and, you know, they're comfortable having the bet then. Like, so it really, really takes off. You know?
Oh, it does. And we cannot wait to take off. Let's move to Tuesday and let's talk about a few races we haven't covered so far in this series. The Ultima Handicap Chase. Ruby, you usually didn't ride in this race in latter years, but you did ride the last Irish-trained winner. Came from miles back. Dundira.
You say that as if I didn't want it, but like anything, PK, rides in Cheltenham, there's not that many spare rides at Cheltenham. And rides aren't as easy to get as people might think. And yes, I didn't ride in the last number of years because nobody offered me a ride in the last number of years. So yeah, I did win it on Dundara many moons ago, and I think it's a fiercely competitive race again this year. What would I really fancy? I think 2.5 miles was a bit sharp for Farkla at the Dublin Racing Festival. Live, Love, Laugh, who was just in front of him, was placed at Leopardstown on the Sunday meeting of Leopardstown's racing just gone by. And I think he's third at the Paddy Power, fourth in the Leopardstown Chase. I think Farclas is a really good chance. He's a former Triumph Hurdle winner.
Irish have a pretty poor record in this race. Is that just an anomaly?
They got many runners,
it's
the
thing.
Oh,
yeah, I'd say the same. Ask Gary at 10, Frank, is probably better fancied if Gordon's too, is he?
Yeah, I would just be worried the Farclan might go on the plate, but Ascaria 10 is in the national hunt in this mark 147 look all right. I think Ascaria 10 might be more likely to run here, but we're guessing, like, we don't know for sure.
We don't guess on this show. 5 of the last 7 winners, Frank, have carried 11 stone 2 or more. So it does appear it's a race that, you know, the classier horses can win rather than the extremely well handicapped ones.
Yeah, but sure, at the moment, okay, you don't know what the top weight, what horse is going to stay in the top weight. You're just looking at, you know, the kind of profile I'd be looking for is maybe has some course form, relatively unexposed, young, up-and-comer, and I think I have one.
I was about to say, there's a smile on your face that hopefully people can hear the smile.
Go on. Come out of box there, Frank, go on.
Trained by Kim Bailey.
6-1 favourite.
He wasn't 6-1 favourite a couple of weeks ago when the weights came out, Ruby.
What price did you get, Frank, then?
That doesn't matter. There's no point in after. We'll wait till he wins.
You get that message on the WhatsApp, did you?
I did not, actually, funnily enough. No, there was a,
I can't see there. It here on the group. I just can't really find it. I have a route back and see if I can see it there.
Yeah, no.
I think it's right next to that when Gavin Willie won you put in the group, Ruby.
And what? And what, man?
I'm just joking. I said it's right next to that text you sent about that well-gambled Winnie winner.
Which one was that?
I'm just any
of them will do. Any of them will do, Ruby. I think it's what Frank's saying. Frank, give us the name of this good thing then that you've backed at 40-1. It's now 6.
Not 40-1, but happy-go-lucky for Kim Bailey. Very, very sweet on this. Okay. Look, fourth in last year's Martin Pipe off a mark of 137. A bit hampered by the fall of Column of Fire at the last. Look, he wouldn't have won, but I think he would have finished potentially third. He was only beaten 3.5 lengths as well. Cracking effort for horses relatively unexposed and inexperienced. Won his chase debut at Stratford over 2.5 miles, and second to get away Trumpet Fakenham. Don't think Fakenham really be his track. Came back to Cheltenham then December, 3-mile, 1 furlong. Thought he jumped well and won nicely. And they've kept him back for this. He better ground to be a plus from Kim Bailey, who's having an amazing season. Enjoying some of the Twitter banter about him as well. People mixing him up and thinking Kim is it's a moment this morning, which is quite funny. But I just think this horse is well handicapped off mark of 147. And he just has an ideal profile. It's a race where the market gets it right far more often than not. Like the winner rarely comes from outside the first 4 or 5 in the market. And I just think he ticks every single box.
Okay, so that is happy-go-lucky, much like yourself, Frank. Ruby, you mentioned two of the former Gornelli trained runners, or we did, Farclaw and Ascari 10. Coca Beach might go for this as well. Are you focusing on the Irish runners then? Is that your angle?
Not so much, PK, but it's hard enough to keep across all lines of form. And I just don't think UK handicap chasers are my strongest point. So
fair enough.
Looking at what I know of the Irish ones, I think Cocoa Beach could stay home for the Boys Sports Irish Grand National. I would be thinking Frank has probably got the nail on the head. Farclas might go for the Paddy Power Plate. Ascari 10 would look the yards number one. And outside of those, I don't really see an Irish horse in there that I'd be willing to take a chance on.
Okay. Right, so
Ascari 10 would have a chance if you run, so to be fair. He definitely would. He runs off 147 as well. He would have a big chance.
Well, I'll put this to both of you. David Pipe, Nicky Henderson, John O'Neill, good records in the race. Dave Pipe's got Remastered. Nicky Henderson's got Pim. Anyone got any thoughts on either of those?
Remastered, I think, would want soft ground. He might run the National Hunt Chase as well. He's a nice horse. I'm not sure that Reynoldstown Chase, the strongest edition of the race ever, but he's going the right way. He's three out of three over fences, and he's a nice horse. But as I said, I just think happy go lucky. He's been to Cheltenham and run well, while Remastered hasn't. I think Remastered's more of I wouldn't be surprised he turned into more of a Welsh national type horse than a Cheltenham Festival horse.
Okay, all right. So very keen on happy go lucky, and Ruby, you're hopeful more than confident about maybe Ascari 10.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about the Boodles Juvenile Handicap Hurdle, the race that everyone says has made the Triumph Hurdle a better race because it's pulled a load of runners out of the Triumph into this. Ruby, I'll start with you. We know the Triumph is probably maybe better, maybe classier. I'm not really sure what to call it, but this race seems to be growing as well. You know, classy horses towards the top of the handicap are winning it as well, rather than, you know, 130, 120 rated.
I think it was a really good addition to the Cheltenham Festival myself. I think that... Look, I think it has made the Triumph a better race. And I think if you add a race and it makes another race better, then great. The Triumph has become a genuine grade one contest now, not the lottery that it may well have been in years gone by. And I think for that reason, this has been a really good addition. I was lucky enough to win one on Sanctuaire, who was pretty well handicapped at the time. And yeah, look, you look down through this race, what can you see running on top? I think with Quilixius now in Henry de Bromhead's and no longer in Gordon Elliott's, I see him running in the Triumph. You know, Gordon is not splitting two up. So I think Quilixius and Zana here will run in the Triumph. And then you're looking down to see what to be top weight after that and how much the weights may or may not rise. So weight's going to be a key factor to it. Willie Mullins has Saint Sam in it. He's rated 139. It's probably a fair enough rating for him. And I think if he was to run here, he'd have a chance. But, you know, when the top ones start coming out and the weights start going up, can I see Willie running them under 11-10? I'm not sure.
When, Frank, the horses moved from Gordon to the Sheevely Park horses got split around, I think everyone thought that Quixilius, just as Ruby said there, was the one horse where they really could change the race, because the talk was that he was going to go for the Boodles. But is he going to be going for the Triumph now? Was there money to suggest he might go for the Triumph?
He was being backed initially from the Boodles. Say he was running there. The Triumph, not particularly. We haven't really been laying him. It's hard to know what's going to happen. Mine, I'd probably go for the Triumph. I just think, you know, he's got a mark of 147. Like, you probably need to be, what, £6 ahead of your mark at least to be winning a handicap at Cheltenham. Like, in any normal year, if you run to 153, 154 in a Triumph, you're probably going to
hit
the first three, if not win. So, I don't know. It's hard to know. It's not an easy mark. As he is a classy horse, I just think conceding weight to some ones that have been hiding their mark from the handicapper might be tough. And the other thing I would say is he does strike me as more of a staying juvenile. And I think the track on the Friday for the Triumph would suit him better than the Boodles on Tuesday. I don't know, has Ruby any thoughts on that? But obviously the old course is sharper, I think.
Absolutely. I know that the Fred Winter, the Boodles Fred Winter, can often be run at a pretty strong pace, but definitely. And looking at Quilixius, I would agree with you. He looks like the new course will suit him. Stamina from the back of the second last. It's such a long run to the last hurdle. Stayers come to the fore. that would be pushing me. Quilixius going there, I think that's what might get Saint Sam closer to Quilixius on his Epistone run. I think some of the juveniles we're looking at do look more like stayers, and the new course is going to suit them better. And that brings the others into the consideration. Then the likes of maybe Busselton, who hasn't looked the strongest finisher in the graded races so far in Ireland. Zafanian, who we saw winning in Nace, there's another one you can throw into it. And a horse that won in Warwick last week, Cabo Cliffs of Skeltons. They'd be suited. They're all horses looking at them that would look suited to the old course, compared to Quilixius and St. Sam, who would look more suited to the new course.
This is quite the puzzle to try and find who's going to run in the Boodles this year. Now we know French Seal's out, Ruby, unfortunately, of the Triumph. Will St. Sam run here? I know you've said you're not sure, but can we...
Not, and Willie has another juvenile.
Numidor
could run here. He's 11 stone, 2, 141. Oh, horse that came from France, won once. He's in Joe Donnelly, Mrs. Joe Donnelly's colours as well. Hortazudari. Black horse, very similar to St. Sam to look at. Spitting image of him, actually. Hawthorne Couleur, by St. Sam as well. So, or St. to St., sorry. Both by St. to St. And two very similar looking horses. But has him in the Triumph too. He hasn't had a run, though. It's the only thing. I don't know, PK. And until Sunday morning, and Willie has to decide here, I don't know what's going to happen.
This dark horse, quite literally from France. This I missed the name of Haute Couleur. Was it something like that?
Haute Couleur is how I am going to pronounce it. That might not be anywhere near correct.
What mark does he have, Ruby? If you have his page in front of you,
he doesn't. He's one run in France, one win. He hasn't got a mark. He's in the Triumph hurdle as well. He may take his chance there.
Okay. So he's obviously pretty good. He could run in the Triumph. He could run in the...
Well, he's not a novice next year. He's run and won in France, so his only chance to run, and the Triumph isn't a novice, I know that, but it might as well be their first season horses. But unfortunately for Hawthorne Couleur, he won't be a novice next year.
Très bien. Frank, Gordon Elliott does seem to target this race, obviously. We know that his horse will be trained by Denise Foster now, but we could be looking at Quilixios, Rivière de Tal, Tiopu, who was pretty impressive. I don't know what I pronounced that one. Gloria
Tihupu,
Zoff.
Tihupu.
Hup you.
What I think. What was you think, Frank?
Tihupu, yeah.
T-E-A-T-H-U-P-O. Pooh.
Any idea what it means?
No idea.
No. It's a strange one. It's a funny one. That's a quintet of potential horses there. Any of those tickle your fancy?
Just looking at Tihupu is a village in Tahiti, PK.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll all go there after this, right? After COVID.
Oh, and it's also a break. It must have something to do with waves as well. So there you go. There's your thing learned for today.
Something to do with waves. I'm not sure I've learned anything there.
Waves breaking. It says here it's the most dangerous break in the world. The waves there have a unique combination. I don't know. Yeah, obviously. Actually, no. You've probably learned nothing.
I really have. what about the
horse? I was watching Moana there for a minute. Going on about waves.
Well, will the parting of the sea at Cheltenham, will Tiopu come up the hill and win this one, riding the crest of a wave?
Yeah, I suppose his mark isn't too bad, 141, but he has won a grade 3 the last day, relatively impressively. The only thing is tax from Max did pull the head off and set the whole way around, didn't he? So what the form is worth, I'm not sure. I don't know, I thought they might take their chance in... I thought they might take their chance in the Triumph itself. And the one I thought was the most interesting of Gordon's X-string was Rivière de Tal. Four-year-old mare, she's off 134. She was second hurdles debut in France at this level. Bowls up in hurdles debut, Punchdown. I'm not sure the form has worked anything, but I thought her third behind the Devil's Coachman at Navan when beaten 3.5 lengths in a rated novice hurdle was fair enough in late January. 134 is all right. She, but the one of Gordon's is probably the most interesting, I think.
Okay, interesting. Ruby, just going to throw a few more names at you. Coltor, Zafanian, you mentioned Busselton, Druid's Altar. Any of those tickle your fancy?
Busselton, maybe. I don't have a... Busselton, perhaps.
Perhaps.
It's like throwing a dart at him. I don't know. What do you think, Frank? I mean, we don't even know what's going to run.
this is one of my stronger handicap fancies of the week, this race, but we'll go through the English ones first.
No, we have a look at some of the UK foot runners for our UK listeners. Frank?
Yeah, I think Ruby's mentioned Cabo Cliffs. He's really taken off since he was behind Duffel Coat in a listed race at Weatherby, and was behind Duffel Coat again when fourth at Cheltenham. But he beat Sage Advice at Warwick and then absolutely bolted up ahead of Heros Desol at Warwick the last day. He's a mark of 137. I'm not sure he's hiding too much in the handicap on that, but he is progressive and he's going places. He looks tough enough. One that ties in with him is Paul Claude de Saint for Jane Williams. Second his first two hurdle starts, wouldn't be any form to write home about at all, but he was third ahead of Cabo Cliffs at Cheltenham in the race that Duffel Coat beat at Dalsho. Of course, the Dalsho went on and won the Grade 1 finale hurdle at Cheltenham, and Cabo Cliffs has come out and won twice since. Paul Claude de Saint's actually going to get £8. I think he's rated, is he getting £8? But he's a £5 penalty now, he's actually get £3 off Cabo Cliffs, but finished ahead of him at Cheltenham. So Balco Saint, very interesting. But the one that just stands out to me, ran in that finale hurdle, and that's Who Grief Paul Nichols. Look, he's well supported in the last 10 days as well. I think when the weights came out first, he was about a 20-1 shot. He's now no bigger than 6. He was a bumper winner in France, won a second hurdle start there as well, pitched straight into Grey One Company for his debut for Paul Nichols, and he shaped a lot better than the 23-length beating would suggest. He travelled every bit as well as Nassalam and Adagio that day to about just before 2 out, and he kind of looked like, I should only blow up or need to run or what, but he kind of weakened tamely enough from there. But the way he travelled and jumped up to that, to me, suggested he was a horse that wouldn't be out of place in the triumph itself. Paul Nichols has kept him, wrapped him up since, which to me suggests I have a handicap mark for this lad here and I'm going to protect it. I think the way you travel as well, better ground wouldn't be a negative for him. And what was very interesting is if you're looking at Twitter, Paul Nichols put up a video of his string working at Wincanton, I think, his Cheltenham runners last week. And the most eye-catching horse of the lot of them was Hoogree. And he was working with all his best horses. So he's off a mark of 128. I would say he is absolutely chucked in.
I caught that video, or at least one of them. Fair play, Frank, because they weren't wearing silks around like that. So you know your markings now, do you? You can tell which one's which.
I let someone else find out which one was which, and then I just watched it. Let someone else do all the work.
I hope they were telling you the truth as to who was who. That's the main thing. No, I'm sure they were. Hoogree, is it? Was the name of that one?
Yeah, Hoogree, very, Hoogree. Very keen.
More French, more ex-French. Okay, so that's the one you're on in the Boodles, Frank, it's fair to say. Ruby, I know you're lukewarm in this race in terms of who's going to win it, but go on. Yo has won.
I am. I could see St. Sam still going to the Triumph Hurdle, so maybe Busselton for Joseph O'Brien.
All right, Joseph O'Brien and Busselton, of course, Joseph, not a bad recent record in the race. That's Tuesday covered, folks. Cast your mind back. We've covered, obviously, all the other races. Frank, your nap of Tuesday.
Hoogree in the Boodles.
Oh, wow. That's coming out. Not many will be napping in the Boodles. Some might be having a nap during the Boodles, but not many will be napping a horse in the Boodles. That's very interesting. And I can tell you again, I know it's a podcast, folks, but there's a grin on Frank Hickey's face a Cheshire Cat would be proud of. Ruby, your nap for the Tuesday.
Concertista.
Concertista in the Mares. Very, very interesting. We'll move to Wednesday next. Okay, Wednesday's card at the Cheltenham Festival features plenty of Grade 1 action, but also some very tricky handicaps. And one of those is the Coral Cup, which I'm just going to read the script here, Ruby. You know, don't take offence. It's a race you didn't have a particularly good record in. I love these scripts. But the record of Irish horses has improved in recent years. They've won 3 of the last 5. Obviously, Willie has managed to win it back in 2018. Do you need to be as well handicapped as you do in the county to win the Coral?
I would say you do. I'd say the Coral could even be a better race. I had no luck in it. I don't even remember getting close in the Coral Cup, let alone not winning it. I would go as far to say as I might never have even been placed in it. But yeah, that's it's a tricky
not a
race.
Not a particularly good record then. The script is correct.
Shocking record in it. Go very hard. Horses, I know, it's not a race I could get a handle on. They go quick across the middle, then they steady up. You need a horse that's definitely coming, that's going up in trip. I wouldn't be for horses that are coming back down in trip. You do need speed in the Corran Cup to be able to hold a position and then ultimately stay, but you have to be able to hold a position. And I would say it's one of the more competitive handicaps. I think it's a very hard race, the Corran Cup.
The Ballymore, is that over the same course distance as in the...
It is, but there won't be 25 in the Ballymore. It'll be 14.
Is it on the same day? Can you...
A couple of races later, yeah.
Okay, so you can get an indication as to how hard it was run usually, and you'll probably see the Ballymore going, geez, they weren't going this fast in the Ballymore.
No, they'll go faster early in the Corran Cup, though. The Ballymore will be able to sustain that gallop through the middle part, whereas handicappers do have to slow down. But no, never a race I overly enjoyed riding it.
Okay, all right. Frank. Dan de Compagnie, a horse we've pronounced in multiple ways on this podcast. First winning favourite since 2003. It's where a bookmaker sponsored this race. It's been a good race for us, hasn't it?
I went through the price of the last 10 winners, and it is very good to bookmakers in the main. 5-1 last year, 28-1, 20-1, 16-1, 12-1, 9-1, 14-1, 33-1, 16-1. Which is Son of Flicker, who was actually a massive gamble. I think he might have been as big as 100-1 a couple of days beforehand. And the last one was 16-1. So it has been relatively bookmaker-friendly in the last 10 years.
Relatively. Gordon Elliott and Nicky Henderson have been the men to follow over the years. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye out for Denise Foster horses on this occasion. Anything catch your eye from those particular yards?
Nicky's won the last 2 years. He's got Allard, who might run here. He was pretty like he raced over hurdles, was fifth in last year's Supreme. I thought he was very impressive in maybe the second half of the race when he won his chasing debut at Ascot in the Grade 2 when he beat Fitter on the roof. I thought he jumped a bit sketchy in the first half of the race that day. But he was impressive ultimately. And beating Fitter on the roof is pretty solid form. But that, you know, jumping issue came back to haunt him in Haylock when he tipped up in another Grade 2. And we haven't seen him since. And Nicky said that he might run here. He's off a mark of 149. I think in time, you know, that's a mark that's workable, but it's never ideal to be coming into the Cheltenham Festival off the back of a fall. You know, you would have preferred to see him have some spin somewhere, even in a, you know, any sort of race, just to get that out of the system. Monte Cristo might be a little bit more solid. This horse, very disappointing on his debut for Nicky Henderson at Cheltenham last season, was 10 to 11 and was well beaten ultimately. He bolted up this year at Kempton at Christmas off a mark of 133, has been kept wrapped up since, got £12 for that, so it's probably high enough mark. But he did win really impressively at Kempton. He's only 5, unexposed and probably improving. So he'd probably be one that has a chance definitely in the Corran Cup.
How did you not go with you could really count on him to go well? Come on, Frank.
Cheap jokes. I like something a bit more sophisticated humour at BK.
That's Alexandre Dumas wrote very sophisticated novels, The Count of Monte Cristo. Yeah, Ruby, Willie's got loads entered towards the top of the betting here. Kashari, Backerson, Great White Shark. Are they potential runners in your knowledge?
I don't know. Backerson at Hardy, he only won the Red Mills last week. I'd be surprised if he went. He's been chasing all year and really paying his way. Kashari won a pretty ordinary handicap hurdle in Cork with a mark of 136. He's up to 146 in England, is he? I think he is. Ran okay to Dublin Racing Festival, got caught a long way back. Great White Shark was disappointed in her last start over hurdles, albeit on heavy ground, but I think the handicapper has a fair hold to her now myself. The ones of Willie's that would be more interesting were they to run would probably be the novices, Gana Petit or horses like that, maybe even CL Denege if he was a step up in trip, might suit him. But yeah, Eurodell hasn't ran in a while. Ran, actually, didn't he? He did run at the Dublin Racing Festival. He was beaten a long way behind Drop the Anchor. He'd have to improve off of that. He's number 90. He's unlikely to get in anyway. But no, I don't see one of Willie's jumping out at me right this minute in time. The one I actually was given a chance to, just at a price, was Birchdale. He was 8 in the race last year behind Dan de Compagnie off a mark of 146. He's down £2 to 144. He came in last year off the back of only one run the previous November. This year, he's had a couple of more runs. He ran, he fell in a chase in November in Catterick. He then went to Newbury, where he had a run, finished last, but then had a run in a jumper for bumpers race in Kempton, where he finished third behind Young Lieutenant. He looks to be coming here this year with a better prep than he had last year, and he's £2 lower, finished 8th in the race last year.
Interesting. Birchdale at a nice price in, I'm pretty sure, JP Silks as well, wouldn't it be? I'm sure JP's, looked much like last year's winner. Frank Graham Waugh, similar mark to Diamond King, for formerly with Gordon Elliott. Is that probably the one of the ex-Gordon Elliott?
We've been well backed. A few sure judges have pulled it up. Look, this used to be trained by Nicky Henderson, actually. 1-3 was 4 starts for him. Was impressive in the second start for Gordon in a 4-year-old grade 3 hurdle at Limerick. And he was behind Backison last time. You could definitely make a case for him. But a mark of 149 is no gimme either. Like, I don't know what Ruby thinks, but 149 would look definitely at the upper limit of anything he's achieved. And yeah, I'd be surprised if he's hiding £10 from the handicapper.
Who's that?
Grandbois. 149.
Me too. I'd be surprised if he is. I suppose he'd a big price tag. Is that where it's coming from?
I think so. Yeah, like, I think if he got maybe 140, you know, if he was off 143 or 4, maybe you'd definitely be a lot more keen, obviously. But I mean, 149, there's going to be something hiding more from the handicapper than him, I think.
Frank, I just refreshed even my page here for the Coral Cup, and Gran Raw seems to have disappeared.
Uh-oh. Oh, well. Well, we'll refresh again there and he might come back, or give it a wallop. Have you tried turning it on and off again? I'll tell you what we'll do. Frank,
what I was more thinking about, oh, he's back again.
There he goes. Yeah. There he goes. The old refresh, can't beat it. Frank, you mentioned there could be a couple lurking. Who are they?
I mentioned a couple. Botox has Gary Moore. This horse is 2 from 3 at the track. His defeat was second to All Mankind. He was very impressive on his reappearance this year when he beat All Mankind, who ended up being third. Obviously, All Mankind improved again for going over fences this year. He's been below form, really, since then. He was, you know, okay when fourth in the jury field and well beaten in his 2 starts since. Perhaps the testing ground, particularly last time at Ascot, wasn't ideal. He finished 6th of 12. But I thought it was very interesting when they were interviewing Gary Moore about Goshen, that he said this has been the long-term plan for Botox Haas. He's a horse I always liked. I was kind of ready to give up on him, but I heard Gary Moore say that. He's a trainer I have an awful lot of respect for. I think he's well able to lay one out. And considering his course form, he's very interesting at a, you know, relatively fair price. I do think price-wise put him up last week, which is always, you know, shortened it up a bit, which is disappointing.
If you haven't taken the big price, yes, it is.
If you haven't taken the big price, exactly. And the other one that is the most interesting, and I'm really keen on here, is You Raised Me Up for Martin Brazel. He's in the county hurdle as well. I'd really be keen on him if he runs here. I backed him last year for the county hurdle, and I think he came out in the morning of the race. He's very unexposed. Only had 1 start in the handicap, when beaten just over a length, when third in the Ladbroke handicap hurdle last year's Dublin Racing Festival. Those days are gone, won it. I think he placed then in the Carl Cup. Did he finish third in last year's Carl Cup?
He did, yeah. He did.
Afterwards. Now, that was only off a mark of 125, but he was really unexposed. He hadn't even won over hurdles prior to that. He's only had 2 starts since, winning in September in Lissowel in a maiden hurdle, beating the useful run for Oscar and Belfast Banter. That's fair form for that time of year. And he was off then until the middle of February when he defied a penalty at Nace, stepped up to 2 miles 3. Very weak in the market that day, suggesting the run was needed. Brazel's actually in a bit of form. He doesn't have that many runners, but he's had 2 of his last 4 runners have won. Drawing ground's a big positive. Mark of 141. Look, again, you know, the handicapper hasn't completely missed them, but I do think he's unexposed and going place, and drawing ground's a massive positive. I think he's got a huge chance if he turns up in this.
A bit of Botox for Frank with Botox, and You Raise Me Up as well. A bit of Westlife as well thrown in there for him. So excellent. We'll see how he gets on with those 2. Ruby, your pick in the Coral?
My pick in the Coral, I think Frank has probably made a more compelling case for anything, but look, at a big price, maybe Birchdale each way.
Okay, right. We're going to move on to the Johnny Henderson Grand Annual. The Johnny Henderson Grand Annual is a race, Ruby, that, do they go fast? Looks like they do.
They do. They do go a good gallop. I only managed to put it out. Won it on St. Perrin many, many moons ago. But yeah, they do go a really good gallop. It's on the old course now, not the new course any longer. So will that have an effect on it? I think it will. I think it will be harder for horses to come from the very back of the field, as has been the case in the past. And I think it will suit those that are able to travel towards the front end. Definitely on the new course, on the old course, I mean, it does suit the horses that are up there. It is harder to make up ground, and that might contribute to a bit more early pace. But when you get to the back of the fourth fence and have to turn left away from the stands, the race will slow down anyway. So, I think it'll suit those that can travel closer rather than those that are too far back.
Okay, that's interesting, because I've memories of, was it Belvano? Was that under Paul Carberry?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was all in the new course. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I was thinking that they travelled beautifully, just went past about 10 horses in about 4 strides.
Can do that on the new course, not in the old course.
Okay, very interesting. So don't be just looking at that hold-up horses. Frank, JP McManus targets this race, or tells his trainers to. Has there been any money for any of his entries? Entucas, Wave of the Sea, Sully Dock, any of those?
Entucas has been the one people have been latching onto since the market's gone up. You can kind of see why, like, you know, useful over hurdles. He's been running well behind nice horses all season. Second to Unaccepted Tipperary, second to Blackboard Navin, second to Sizing Patsy in a decent handicap at Fairy House. Again, he was 4 behind Daily Tiger and 4 behind the Wave of the Sea in good handicaps as well. His mark of 143 is probably fair. He's only 7. JP's a great record in the race. He's one that they've latched onto. You can 100% see why. You'd imagine he's been kind of aiming, not that he's been hiding anything, but he's been aimed at peaking for Cheltenham. And you can see probably a seasonal best easily happening in this race.
All right. Ruby, Paul Nicholls, you mentioned you rode St. Piran to ride for to win the race on board for Paul Nicholls. He's got Diego Charmille, Duke de Genevre, Magic Saint. Any of those appeal to you?
Probably Tamarack to Matan if he was a turn up, actually. Second to Shishkin and Novice Chase, beat Gia La last week in Kempton over 2.5, but jumped and travelled really well. Were he to turn up, he's rating of 150. He could be the interesting one, but I suppose the real interesting one, if he was to run, is the Shunter. We saw him win in the Moor Battle the other day. He ran really well at the Dublin Racing Festival in the race that a Wave of the Sea won, and Entucas was fourth. And he actually raced way too keenly in that race, the Shunter. Would have the pace possibly to hold a nice position, a little bit lower over hurdle fence. He's 135 over fence, 134 over hurdles. That's in the on his Irish marks. He's 140 in the UK. But I think he could be the interesting one.
Frank, any views on the Shunter?
If Paul Byrne and Evan Mullins are listening, run him in the grand annual and you will win $100,000 bonus. Exactly what Ruby said. He likes to be ridden prominently over fences. I know that was the plan on Saturday in the Moor Battle, but things didn't work out and he had to kind of come from a little bit further back. But at the Dublin Race Festival, he had an excuse. The saddle slipped a bit. He still finished third, beating 3 lengths. I think if the saddle hadn't slipped, I think he probably would have won. He would have to run here off 140. He gets a £5 penalty over hurdles, so he'd have to run over hurdles up 139. But just when you're looking at all the races, like, County Hurling, massively competitive. Carl Cup, hugely competitive. Martin Pipe, hugely competitive. The Plate, fairly competitive. Like, you're looking at this Grand Annual and you're like, how many horses are really, really interesting? And there aren't that many. And just if you're looking at which one has he the best chance of winning, I think it's this. And the point Ruby's already made about horses being prominent, having them more of an advantage now on the old course, I just think everything's set up for him. Like, if you go back to through his form this year, he's just constantly improving since he moved to Mullins. Like, he won a chase at, was it Punchestown in September, where he beat Enjoy Dallin. Enjoy, he beat him by about 18 lengths or something. Enjoy Dallin's rate 137 now after winning twice and finishing second at Nace, and he's actually destroyed him that day in a beginner's chase. He's won a great one, he's won a Moor Battle hurdle. 140, I think it's a huge chance. I really think he'd take all the beating and just rolling here, because I think it's a lot more difficult to win the other races than it is the Grand Annual.
Okay, so you did tip up and napped him at the weekend. He won the Moor Battle, as you rightly said, Kel. So he was 16-1 when we were talking on the From the Horses Mouth tipping podcast for this race on Friday. What price is he now, as we speak?
As we speak, he is, I think he's about, he is 7-1, I think.
Yeah, I think you said on Friday he'd be cut to about 6s would he win. So that makes sense. He is entered in, I think, about half the races at the Cheltenham Festival.
He's in five races. So he's in the County Hurling, Carl Cup, Martin Pike, Paddy Power Plate and the Grand Annual. I do think he's, I think he could go off like 3-1 if he ran the Grand Annual.
Whoa, right. Is it fair to say you both fancy the Shunter for the Grand Annual?
We do.
Let's move on to your Wednesday nap. Your Wednesday nap, Frank Kiki.
You might laugh at me, but
I always do.
I'll say you raise me up in the Carl Cup if he runs. I know that's a really competitive race, but I really like him.
So you put naps up in the Carl Cup, and what was the Tuesday nap? It was in the Boot Plus. This is going to be a hell of a lucky 15 you're going to put up here, Frank.
I've done like the Life Changer or Face Fitter. I've done the Bonds Monster at APK.
Okay. Ruby, your nap on the Wednesday?
Oh, it's a double. Monkfish and Shaq and Poussoir.
Lovely job, Lee. A Willie Mullins double with Monkfish in the Novice, the Festival Novice, and then Shaq and Poussoir in the Champion Chase. Let's move on to Thursday. Well, Thursday, we're past the halfway stage of the Cheltenham Festival. Let's look at the Pretemps final, a race that is somewhat curious in that you have to qualify for this particular race at the Cheltenham Festival. There are different races you have to qualify, but not called qualifiers. Ruby, when you look at the last four winners of this race, Presenting Percy, Delta Works, Sire de Burley, it suggests that you actually have to be a very classy animal to win this handicap.
You do. It's another race I never won either, PK.
I didn't say it this time, though.
I beat you to it. I think was I ever placed in this either. I don't think I was. The Green Mile might have been fifth in it, maybe. I don't remember having too many close misses in it. But I was placed years ago on a horse of Paul Nichols's. I can't even know.
What was the one that was beaten by Fingal Bay? Wasn't that, was it?
I don't think so. South
can't think. Oh, no, that wasn't you.
No.
So you didn't win it?
No, I didn't. Definitely didn't win it.
There's no Pretemps trophy behind you, so.
No, there's not, no. And look, yeah, you have to qualify for finishing the first six in one of the qualifiers in order to take your chance at the final. And for that reason, everyone looks at the qualifiers and looks at the horses that finished fourth, fifth and sixth. The boss's Oscar was second in one in Leopardstown. I think he's been duly penalised for that, Frank. Would you say that?
Oh, the handicapper has been very harsh, so definitely.
Last time I heard someone saying that about this race was Davy Russell moaning about Presenting Percy. Was that Maldini?
Or did he moan about it was Presenting Percy. It was Presenting Percy. He got £15, didn't he? Well, you look here, the boss's Oscar. He was finishing second in an episode of 138, and his Irish marks 143, and the English handicappers put another 8 on him, which is quite harsh. But I still wouldn't put a line through him.
Neither would I. Look, last year's race was a really good race. Obviously, Sire de Burley beat the Storyteller. Look at the standard the two of them set. So it can be obviously a pretty decent race. Looking for a good horse in it. The best horse in it is obviously the top weight, isn't he? Third Wind beat Liz Nagar, Oscar and Haydock on the 20th of February. If he was to line up, he definitely, and I suppose the old timer, you know what I mean, Harry, they're the real classy ones. Frank, have you a different opinion?
The Third Wind was beaten in the race last year. He was fourth in last year's renewal. He's £12 higher. But he's obviously improved a bit this year. Like what that Haydock form is worth, I'm not certain. If you ask me what the best horse in the race is, I think you said the boss's Oscar will be in a few months' time. But I don't know. I don't think it's as good as last year's race when you look at the Storyteller and Sire de Burley. I don't think there's anything, you know, jumping out to that's capable of winning, you know, grade twos or grade ones.
Willie hasn't had any run. Sorry, Frank. Willie, I was just going to say, go for it.
Maybe the Bass's Oscar and Imperial Alcazar. They're probably the two that potentially could be graded horses, you know, in time.
We'll hopefully find one of those great horses, find the winner. Anyway, I was just going to say to you, Ruby, that Willie doesn't actually have that many runners in this particular race. Just one of those races, nothing to it.
Yeah, no, I don't know, Frank. PK, to be honest, which I think with the introduction in latter years of that 3-mile handicap at the Dublin Racing Festival, worth 100 or the 100,000-mile handicap, you know, third time's final, I know it's at the Cheltenham Festival, but it's worth £42,000 to the winner. And for these kind of horses, I think Willie tends to target more valuable handicaps than this.
Fair enough. Frank, let's talk Champagne Platinum. because there's been a fair bit of talk about him in the colours that often win this race. Is he ran well in the Kim Euro course last year. Do you rate his chances?
They caught the eye at Haylock. He was well back at Kim Euro. Ultimately, a bit disappointing. Massive eye catcher at Haylock. Look, I don't think he was... he was given a pretense qualifier ride where it was like, do not win and blow the mark. But he was definitely got the eye running on into second. He looks like he's been lined up for this, but I was a fan of the horse initially. I'm just not sure you can rely on him in that last furlong. But then again, I said the same about Getaway Trump last week, and he duly bolted up then at Doncaster. So
you called him. You called him some awful names. You did. All right, let's talk about your potential winners then, lads, because it's trying to find horses who place and finish fourth, fifth, sixth in these qualifiers, it can be a bit of a minefield. Ruby, your most likely winner, shall we say, of the Pretemps?
I'd say there are 28 races at the Cheltenham Festival, and I am most likely to tip a winner in something else other than this. For that reason, I have just listened to Frank Hickey, and I'm going to Boss's Oscar, because he's basically telling me he might have a mark of 151, but he could be 160 horse.
Frank Hickey?
I did a piece on 10 horses to follow in October for Paddy Power News, and I said I thought he'd win the Pretemps back then. And no, I know the handicap has been harsh, but I think Gordon said a couple of weeks ago they were going to put a claimer up on him. I'd just be interested to see who they do put up.
Gordon Gainsford, I would have said.
That's what I was thinking as well, and he is a very good claimer. He's claiming 7, isn't he?
Gordon does, yeah. And it'll be for 7. Sneezy as well, for Denise Foster.
Yeah, but like, if he claims 7 off the Boss's Oscar, I think he'd have a huge chance. Like, if you go back, it's just all based off the one run last year in the Martin Pipe. Go back and watch it, and like, God, everything went wrong for him. I thought he was going to get pulled up, you know, just out from the second, when they went past the stands and back out onto the back straight. I thought, oh, he's going to end up being pulled up. He's last. He's been scrubbed along. And he ends up absolutely flying up the hill. He gets hampered by the fall at the last. He still finishes 5th. I think if he hadn't got hampered, he might have finished 2nd or 3rd. Probably 3rd, sorry. And just then I was like, God, I want to be on him. And he comes back here next year if he goes steps up to 3 miles. And he shaped okay. Look, he was probably forced to keep the race at Thurles when he took the second right place, right time out of it on the run-in. And he's been 2nd behind the Florian Porter, who ended up winning a Grade 1, and 2nd to Danny Magg at Leopardstown. History will tell you finishing, not winning a qualifier is a positive. I just miss loads to like about him, particularly if he takes the £7 off. And he's only 6, he's improving. And if you look at Gordon's record on the race, he's won the last 3 years. He's had 1-2s in 2 of those years. So he knows what it takes to win the race. I'll just give a mention to a couple more. Imperial Alcazar, he's only 7. Very impressive with the qualifier at Warwick. £8 rise isn't excessive at all. He was just touched off in his only ever run at Cheltenham previous that when I think by Protector at the listed hurdle over 2.5 miles. He'd have a chance as well. I think he's better than 147. A come on telly off 134 won here in December. I think he beat on the blind side. And he was 3rd behind Imperial Lancaster at work. Mark 134 is working for him. And one more I mentioned, Bushy Park. Started off in handicaps in Hexham this season off a mark of 83. I priced that race. Had it marked down, was careful that they might have a punt at him. And he was punted from 16s into, I think, 7-4 and bolted up. That was off 83. He won a qualifier at Haydock off 120 last time. He's now raised 132. So massive progression from him this season. He's another one to keep an eye on, but I think he will want soft ground speed his best.
So the Boss's Oscar?
Boss's Oscar, though. The
Boss's definitely. Oscar. Two votes for the Boss's Oscar in the Pretemps and a few at nice prices there too from Frank. Right, let's move on to the Paddy Power Plate. And Ruby, you did win this race. Well done, Ruby. You won this race. Do you remember on who?
Yeah, I do. I had to get extremely lucky. P. McCoy had to pick the wrong one, and I got a phone call, I'd say about 11:30 or 5 minutes before decks closed the day before, to ride Blowing Wind. Was it?
Peter Deal Colours? That was the Mr. and Miss Colours.
Pam and Peter Deal, yeah, for Martin Pipe. Way back when. One of Willie's, actually.
Oh, that must have been a fun conversation then, later on.
Well, Willie's only at 10 stone. It's time for a win. I won the top of him on him 3 weeks later.
Ah, sure, that's grand. So, easy peasy. Novices are going well in this. They've won 3 of the last 4. Is that something that we should be looking out for, novices, Ruby?
Always. in handicaps, unfortunately. Novices seems to be the ones that are improving and can be ahead of the handicapper. Not, I know they have a good record in this race, not as much in the spring as in the autumn, but in the autumn you have to side with novices and handicaps.
Okay. Frank,
second season novices even.
Second season, yes. The last two winners of this race had previous Shetland winning form, Frank. Is that something we should be aware of, we should be looking for?
Look, it's always a positive if you won around Shetland before. You'd sorry to lack of the bets. I think did they both win that handicap in January over the course of the distance?
It wasn't on this year, so that winner's not going to win it.
Yeah, but like, you know, again, look, course form is always a positive. And if you just go back and watch races that have been run over the season there, you're going to find a lot of winners. But you wouldn't. Obviously, the Irish horses that are coming over aren't really going to have run here this year. But
other than Chatham Street lad.
Yeah, other than him. I think he likes the track.
Yeah, well, his run in the Paddy Power would suggest as much. The Jenkinstown Stud have got a good record in this race. They've won it a couple of times. We've got Far Class Conflated, Battle Over Doyen, Sam Crow in a handicap. And the Festival Plate a few years ago, if you said he'd be ended up on the Festival Plate, you would have been chucked out of a few bars. Ruby, which is the best of the Jenkinstown team?
Hard to know. I mean, Sam Crow's about 156 or 7 here last year when he finished behind Mellon. And his runs this year have been disappointing. Obviously, he's a former Ballymore winner, so he's a class horse. Far Class. I thought the trip was a bit sharp for him in that percent the last day. I thought he wanted further. I think his Paddy Power run was pretty solid. Conflated is only a novice, obviously. Third behind Monkfish at the Dublin Racing Festival. Beat Opposites Attract. Second Australian for Lange. Third at Darvis Star. That's all pretty decent stuff. He'd be definitely one with a squeak. Outside of that, now I'm sort of struggling. I did listen to Daryl Jacob the other night, and he was giving Karen B and Boy a fairly positive plug. Beat Fiddler on the Roof at Newbury in November was no match for that Dashiell Drasher then at Ascot in December. And I think he's running Sandown on the 6th of February behind Moonlight. There's nothing to write home about, but Daryl did give him a pretty favourable mention the other day when I was listening to him somewhere.
Frank, we mentioned Chatham Street Lad briefly. Is he the one to beat?
I'm not certain he'll run here. Just again, I know he's going to have to run against Envoyalin in the Marsh, but he's to run here off 156. You imagine everything that's going to finish in the first three or four is going to be, you know, 5 or 6 pounds ahead of your mark. So you're saying he probably need to run to 160 to hit the first three. If he runs to 160, he's going to finish in the first three in the Marsh. So,
Ruby, where would you run Chapman Street Lad, Ruby?
I'd run him in the Marsh. I think it'll be, with his rating, I mean, he's going to struggle to win this. If he has 5 or 6 pounds in hand, like, this is after the Marsh. And if for some unforeseen reason, Envoyalin overjumped and did the splits, you'd be fairly sick waiting to have a go in a handicap that you weren't running the novice.
Well, there's nothing worse than looking back and going, what could have been? Who do we like, then? What about the UK Challenge, Frank? Who are the best of the UK runners?
I think Midnight Shadow is one I'll touch on. Won the Tipper here last year, and Champ was clear, falling at the last. Was the last or second last? I can't remember. He was sixth in the Marsh, not disgraced at all. Disappointing on the season reappearance in the old Roan Chase, but he was second behind Chatham Street Lad, albeit beaten 15 lengths off a mark of 148. Had a prep run at over hurdles at Weatherby. Now, he was pulled up. The yard have been in desperate form this year for them. They normally do quite well, particularly up the north. But Sue Smith has had three winners in the last 4 or 5 days. They might just hit a bit of form. And he's won at the track before, Midnight Shadow. And, yeah, again, he's probably a fair price. As Ruby said, he's a second season chaser. So he fits the profile. But the one, I mentioned it on Friday, that I want for this, and I hope they run him, is Umbregado. He won at Newbury. Some people say he's a bit fortunate. He travelled like the best horse in the race, though. Travelled like a dream. Took him a while to kind of get going. He has a 5 pound penalty. I've touched on Pipe's record in the race. He won it in 2012 and 2014, but he said a horse hit the first five in 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19. So he knows what it takes to go close. And Umbregado would have a 5 pound penalty. But again, he's actually a novice this year. He's won his last three, done the handicap, has got him yet. And I think there's a fair bit to like about him.
So Umbregado, Midnight Shadow, Umbregado, if he runs, is your selection. Fair enough, fair to say.
Yeah, if Umbregado runs my selection, and if he didn't, I might have a few bob on Midnight Shadow.
And Ruby?
Like I said, Daryl gave Caribbean Boy a good plug the other night, or the other day actually, on the Nick Luck Show, I was listening to him. And I thought maybe Fee Didari of Joseph O'Brien's. I watched him winning a Navin, was second then by Allen in Punchestown. Don't think he stayed behind Monkfish the last day. Didn't stay. He was up to a grade one company, mark of 144, weight of 10 stone 9 right now. 6-year-old, strong traveller. That trip, that pace of race would suit him. Maybe Fee Didari.
Okay, no Envoy Alum and Monkfish in the Paddy Power play. Frank, third leg, third nap, this time the Thursday nap. I'm not sure if you're going to be going to Subtle for a 16-runner 5-furlong sprint handicap for this one, but what's your nap of the Thursday?
Nap of the Thursday. Is Glenn's Lantern going to run the Mare's Novice, Ruby?
I think she will, Frank, yeah.
There you go, that's my nap.
Glenn's of Antrim in the Mare's Novice hurdle. And Ruby, your Thursday nap?
Well, off my seat here, isn't it, Frank Hickey? My Thursday nap. Sure, look, I honestly believe, and it's not, I can't understand why Envoy Allen at the time of recording PK is just a shade of odds on. He should be way beyond that. He's a 1-4 shot.
He's
just odds on.
Oh, we've got our own Jamie Codd here. I'm waiting for the God given certainty comment that we got from Jamie Codd on it was a Monkfish, wasn't it? No, it was Bob Olinger, he said. Bob Olinger.
Well, Frank, what do you think? I mean, I can't understand why Envoy Allen is only the price he is.
I'd agree. I'd be surprised if he is. We're 8 to 11. There's 5 to 6 best. He definitely won't be any bigger than 2s on the day.
I don't think so either. And I know that's. The only thing tip and odds on shots. I think he should be way shorter. That's the thing.
Yeah, but it's you know, value is, you know, it doesn't matter what price there. If the price is too big, like 8-11, like if you're looking for something definitely to, if you're a big punter, 8-11 might look great value, and it's definitely something you could put in your multiples. The only question mark would be the fact he's switched stable. But Ruby, I saw Ruby make a good point about horses going to Australia, and it kind of would have, you know. And then still it's too,
it's, the it's too close. Oh, not sorry, that's the wrong way of saying it. It is, it's that close that it shouldn't have that big an effect. If the race was 6 weeks away, I think it'd be harder.
Fair enough. There we go. A couple of naps at very different prices. Glens of Antrim for Frank in the Mayor's Novice, and Ruby going with Envoy Allen. We move on to Friday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
And we move on to Friday at the Chatlow Festival, the final day. And we, oh, yes, the county. I used to love it when it was the last day on the Thursday. But now, obviously, it's the first race on the Friday. Now, at this stage, Ruby, you did have plenty of success in this particular handicap. One of 4 times. Now, of those 4 winners, is there anything in common that we could think, oh, there's something like that in this year's renewal?
I got lucky. I'm trying to think. Find approach. The Grey Horse of Paul's bolted in. American Trilogy, American Trilogy, yeah. He was a novice, and I'd say maybe the two at the top of the market, third time lucky, Gana Petit, they're probably in line with him, and the fact that they're novices, but that's about all they have in common with him. I definitely have more luck in the county, going fast, coming from off the pace. I had plenty of luck in counties. I probably rode horses that wanted a bit further. That's what we pushing me towards Gana Petit. I just think he was second to the real deal in Punchestown over 2 miles. He was fifth then behind Gaillard and Mesnil over 2.6 in Leopardstown. He definitely, stamina is not an issue for him. And I think stamina, you need stamina to win a county.
Did Thousand Stars win a county as well?
Katie won a Thousand Stars, yeah.
He definitely got 3 miles, obviously.
Yeah. Eventually, a final approach, wanted a trip. Stayers win counties.
Okay, very interesting. Frank, this is easy race for us because all you have to do is find the Willie Mullins, Paul Nichols or Dan Skelton horse that's going to win it, because they're the three who farmed this race since 2014. So which horses from those stables are the ones being backed?
Prashima for Dan Skelton, but it needed to win last weekend at Newbury to get a penalty to probably get in, and it was disappointing. So the other one that's been backed is declared both off for Gordon. Yeah, so Brashima, we're going to probably not have to pay out on that anyway, which is good.
Very good. Let's talk about a few of the other Willie Mullins horses, Ruby. You mentioned Ganapathy. Blue Lord, Saldier, are they likely to run?
I could see Blue Lord running in the Supreme. I could see Saldier taking up his engagement in the Champion Hurdle, strolling down through them. See Eldon Edges in the Coral Cup. Look, he was second in a Betfair Hurdle, and he won a 2 mile maiden hurdle, but I don't know. Is it time to try him at a different distance to see if you can get him to win a race? Gallop and the Champ is in here. I think he wants a bit further and might well take his chance in the Martin Pipe. Uridel could get in here. 67, just about get in. First run in a long time when he was disappointed at the Dublin Racing Festival. Favaros, hard to see him being good enough. Captain Kangaroo, 70, can't see it. N'Golo, probably running the Albert Bartlett. Tiger Tap Tap, he's just been disappointing. I definitely try him in a bit further because this hasn't been worked. 2 miles hasn't been working. And the same could be said for Blue Sari, who, at least we forget, did chase home Envoy Allen in the Champion Bumper.
Yes, he did. Frank, we talked about Paul Nicholls, Dan Skelton. What are the best chances? So we mentioned, obviously, that Prashima is not going to get in. You've got Pick Dory, Christopher Wood for Nicholls, third time lucky in Cadsden for Skelton.
I'll just be quick. I don't think Nicholls, any of his horses will win. I don't think.
Fair enough.
Skelton, Kazan disappointing in the Betfair Hurdle. I saw an interview with him. He didn't really know what the story was there or why he ran below form. Third time lucky would definitely be interesting off mark 143. Fourth in last year's Champion Bumper. Plenty of experience, had 5 starts. The run of Musbury, you kind of forgive it. I don't think it was, you know, really strongly run. He probably wants a strongly run race. He'd be interesting if he took his chance. Would be overly keen myself, though.
Fair enough. Ruby, Felix Deji, Petit Mouchoir, Curse of Bleem. Big ratings, classy animals. Are they not well handicapped enough, though?
No, not for me. Felix has been chasing, coming back to hurdling. Yeah, it could happen for him. No, Curse Sublime is the only one of the horses you mentioned there, or Sublime, as you call them. Rating of 151. Was disappointed on his last start, 4th in the Morgiana, not beating that far. If you could forgive him his last run, he could be the one. Ran bad in last year's Champion Hurdle, but decent horse on his day. He over the other two could be the one.
Okay. Frank, Soaring Glory, the Betfair Hurdle winner. 143 the mark.
Very well handicapped, but I just don't think he'll run. I think he'll run the Supreme.
Fair enough. Right, Ruby, what's Willie's best chance of winning the county? And, which he's looking to do for the 6th time, by the way, what's your idea of the winner?
Anna Petit, only I couldn't guarantee anybody Willie wouldn't run him in a novice. Rating of 140, hard to see him winning a novice. As Frank would tell you, he needs to have 5 or 6 pounds in hand. 146.7, that still doesn't win the Supreme or the Ballymore. So, look, I'd be hoping he'd run in one of the handicaps, but couldn't guarantee it. That's what would happen. I suppose Ciel Dinesh has form. PK, you've kind of talked me into Curse of Bleem.
All I did was mention his name, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, you put it in my mind, and then when I thought about it, I was thinking, yeah, that could happen.
Okay. Curse of Bleem indeed. Frank, I don't think I've got such weight with you. What's your fancy for the race?
JP cleaned up the handicaps last year, and I like one of his here, Sealed in the Edge. I was only 6-1 last year. Was disappointing, though. But his last run on good grounds was when he was second, beating Shakur's length to the Betfair Hurdle off mark of 135. Thought he's run okay this year. He was 5th in that decent fairy house handicap behind the fans, Virgo, in November. Won a maiden hurdle, Limerick. He was 1/8 on that day. And he was 9th in the Ladbroke Hurdle. I just think he's been peaking for this, I would think. I expect a lot better run than last year. And he's a fair price as well. He's 25-1 best at the moment.
Okay, so Cur Sublime and Ciel de Neige for the ex-French horses for the lads. We move on to the Martin Pipe and Ruby. I'm not sure if it was the first 2 years or certainly earlier on in this race's history. We saw, didn't we, Sir Deschamps and Dompoli both win and go on to bigger and better things. And is it used as a stepping stone by Willie Mullins? Does he say, yeah, my good novice will get a decent mark for this with a view to being a better chaser?
No, Sir Deschamps wasn't a novice, so that's why he ended up running here. We couldn't run him in any of the novice hurdles. Don Pauly, we could have, but he ended up here. Jigginstown wanted to go that way. But I actually like one of Willie's in it. I think Galloping Deschamps, I think he's a great price. He's big, double fit, well up in the outside 20-1. He was second to see Ducker on his first run for us in Goran Park over 2 miles. He pulled up at Christmas behind Grand Raw when he was favourite, but he never rose a gallop. I thought he ran well in Leopardstown behind the Appreciated. He was close enough to the pace all the way, turned in with his chance, faded from the last where Irascible Hookup Blue Lord ran by him. He was in front of Master Mac Shee. I think going up in trip will really suit him, and I think at a big price each way for me, he'll do.
Galopin Deschamps. These French names, tell you what, it's going to be a good festival for the ex-French. Frank, your thoughts on the Martin Pipe? It's a race that kind of looks like a plot race, doesn't it? Sometimes it appears to be anyway.
Yeah, like wide receiver has been well touted, well backed as well, but I just thought his run at Leopardstown on beat Grey One was lifeless, and I'd be, you know, I wouldn't really want to be backing him. There's a horse that's gone to Dave Bridgewater from Thomas Mullins. Is it Baron of Adoyne or something it's called?
Baron of Adoyne, yeah.
Yeah, beat Damalisk at Nace in November. That was a race that's worked out well. Damalisk got bolted up at Navan. You had Morosini, who was an eye catcher and a pretend qualifier behind. Ishka Solis bolted up at Nace subsequently. Danny Magg won a pretend qualifier. So the race worked out quite well. He switched to Dave Bridgewater after obviously losing the condition. You'd like to see him have another nice horse, and you saw what he did with the conditional. He improved him a bit actually as well, so he's one that's a bit interesting. And the other one was actually a horse that went off favourite for it last year, Front View for Joseph. Now he did disappoint last year when I think it was only a 4-1 shot. He was 4-1, he finished 12th, beating 9 lengths, but this year he's been chasing some all right for him. His third behind Frank de Port at Turles. He won at Fairy House, unseated in the Dan Moore at Fairy House, went back over hurdles. And it was an all right run over 2 miles in the Labrador card when he finished midfield. But he's off mark 137. And again, he's 25-33-1 for a horse that was 4-1 last year. And he's £2 lower. He's very interesting. He's still only 6 as well.
I'll give you guys one conditional jockey. You have a horse running in the Martin Pipe. You have one jockey to choose from. Conditional, obviously. Who is it?
Jordan Gaines first.
Okay, you've got that in first there, Frank. Jordan Gaines. Ruby, you can't have Jordan Gaines. He's been booked already.
I'll have Conor McNamara.
Conor McNamara. So watch out for those two, whoever they get jocked up on, folks, for the Martin Pipe. So just to confirm, Ruby, Galopin Deschamps, and Frank, you are pretty keen. Was it Front View or of the two that you mentioned? Or
a Front View, yeah.
Front View.
From a price point of view, just like he's £2 lower and he's won over fence this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him run really well.
Excellent. Let's get your Friday naps, folks. Friday naps. Frank, I'll come to you again first. I'm sure you're picking something in the Martin Pipe.
No. I'm just going to keep it simple. Album Photo goes into the history books.
Okay. Album Photo to make it 3. Ruby?
Might have robbed the £7 claimer, but I'm taking the same horse as Album Photo for me as well.
So 2 nods for Album in the Gold Cup. Okay, we're very nearly there, folks. We've got a few questions just before we let the lads go. Before we do, Carl Doyle asks, Ruby, why is the English handicapper so harsh on Irish runners? And he says, in particular, Willie's horses at Cheltenham. This year alone, a number of horses gone up 5, 6, 7 pounds on the back of disappointing runs. I can't see the sense of this, especially as it's an away game for these horses.
Ratings aren't the same. It's nearly almost as simple as that. I think over years there has been some deflation in the Irish handicap. PK, you, with your background, could explain this an awful lot better than myself and Frank Hickey will. But it's to do with deflation. I think there has been deflation over many years in the Irish handicap to keep it at a certain level. And with a lack of deflation in the English handicap, English horses have just kept creeping up and up. And it's like the environment or the economy or whatever you live in, if there's not deflation, the top horses just keep getting higher.
All I know is, Ruby, the handicapper is always correct. So that's all I know.
Handicapping is probably the one job in either the BHA or the IHRB that might interest me, because it is an opinion. Yeah. Everything else is just following rules.
Correct. Yeah, your opinion matters most. Frank, one for you from Anthony Daly. Now, I don't know if it's the Anthony Daly, but let's say hello to Dalo. Frank, the shunter is on for the £100,000 bonus after his win at Kelso on Saturday, which you tipped up.
Anthony Dalo.
It's got to be. What race will he run in? I'd have thought he's unlikely to switch to fences so close to the festival. Would you agree? I don't think you do, but let's find out.
I think he'll run over fences myself. But I think, like, if you ask me to price up which one he is the best chance on, Grand Annual.
That's because you backed him
easily.
For the Grand Annual.
No, I am. But the reason I backed him for the Grand Annual and no bet is because if you looked at the five races, which one is, you know, which one has the biggest lack of depth? Mm-hmm. Grand Annual.
Very good. Okay, so Dalo, I'm afraid Frank does think that that is the best race for him. We'll see where he ends up. Eddie Coffey asks of Ruby, outside of Paul Ten and Jack Kennedy, who might be a dark horse to be leading jockey at this year's Cheltenham Festival?
Rachel Blackmore.
Rachel Blackmore, lovely. Right, that's it, folks. We are nearly there, but we do have a few enhances for you before we go. And a quick recap on the four championship races. Ruby, the champion hurdle, who wins?
Going for Honeysuckle.
Champion Chase?
Chacun Poursois.
Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle?
Fame Hill.
And the Gold Cup album photo, we know.
Photo.
Frank, same questions to you. Champion Hurdle?
Asper Tower.
Champion Chase?
Put the kettle on.
Oof. Paddy Power Stayers?
Vindication.
Oh, three. Oh, and the Gold Cup album photo, obviously. So yep. You only agree on album photo. That's very interesting. Now, it is the last of our Road to Cheltenham, our Countdown to Cheltenham shows. So, Ruby, you've given us your three bankers of the week, which I believe are Monkfish, Shaq and Pursuit, and Envoy Allen. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent stuff. And the three handicappers you most like next week, Chosen Mate, The Boss's Oscar, and Gallop and Deschamps.
Yeah, and I went again, Chosen Mate, and we were doing the Grand Annual here a while ago. When I was giving that out yesterday, I didn't realise he was still...
Oh, the shunter.
£12 higher than in the Grand Annual. He was still £12 higher than,
okay,
than when he won it last year. So I'm going to go for the shunter instead of Chosen Mate.
Okay, the shunter, Boss's Oscar, Gallop and Deschamps. Frank, yeah, your two best bets of the week, is it fair to say Tritonic and Album Photo, I've been told?
Yeah, we're going to enhance them. That double was 10-1, now 14-1.
Lovely. And your two bets on the handicap front?
Agree, we're going to enhance that 6-1 to 8-1, and Happy Go Lucky in the ultimate 6-1 to 8-1. And Ruby's treble of Monkfish, Shaq and Pursuit, and Voyal and all to win was 5-1. We'll enhance that at 13-2.
Lovely, jubbly. Keep an eye out on the Paddy Power website for that. All of those will be enhanced over the next couple of days if you want to get stuck in for as long as Frank can't afford to keep them there. I want to thank you both for joining us during this series, Ruby and Frank. Thank you very much for your company. I want to thank Rob Catterson, who's produced this show brilliantly over the last few weeks. He's been doing some serious work behind the scenes. That is it. Now, all we have to do, folks, is back about 10 or 12 winners.
Easy.
We've got all of the armory, lads. We've got all the armory. Sure, Frank Hickey's snapping up everything that's 10 to 1 or bigger in handicaps. This is going to be easy, lads. Just need maybe five winners will do us. Listen,
as long as the five winners are all in the same Super Yankee, DK. That's all that matters.
super Yankees. Yeah. I'm going to do Heinz. I think that's 57 bets, so that'll do me. No, but honestly, lads, thanks a million for your company over the last few weeks. Everyone, please do enjoy the Cheltenham Festival. Really looking forward to it, not too far away. Do subscribe to the podcast From the Horse's Mouth. We will return with more tipping shows and extra content as well. But until then, folks, stay well.